The reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, that can be found in your Bibles on page 1003, page 1003. Mark, chapter 1, starting from verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you for your welcome. It's lovely to be here with you. And they send you greetings from where I serve in England, in Kirkcaldy in Yorkshire. And glad for me to be here with you this particular weekend. Trading Places was the name of an Eddie Murphy film. Eddie Murphy has made a variety of films over the years, some completely forgettable, some quite worth seeing. And Trading Places was made about 20 years ago now. It was the story of a millionaire investor and a poor con man. And the two men traded places in the course of the film. They exchanged lives. The millionaire took over the life of the con man, and the con man took over the life of the millionaire. And the results were worth seeing for about 90 minutes, I guess. Well, today's Bible story records Jesus and a leper trading places. And I hope we'll see, although it's small in scale, it's remarkable in detail. And Mark has included this particular scene right at the start of his story. We're just into the end of the first chapter, because it contains within it the shape, the shadow or outline of the climax of his account that we remember with bread and wine in just a few minutes' time, when God's ancient people murder God's Messiah. At home, we've preached our way right the way through Mark's Gospel, and it was a great privilege to do that and spend time, up to a year, just reading through and sitting scene by scene and see how Mark gradually unfolds the story of the Lord Jesus. In my experience, it's always worth asking, whenever we come to any account in Mark's Gospel, any scene, to say, what does this scene, the start or the middle of the story, tell me about Good Friday? How does this scene anticipate the good news of Easter Sunday? And time and again, Mark invites us, it seems to me, to set these earlier scenes alongside that climactic moment when Jesus died in our place. And so for the next few minutes, we're going to take this scene, a very simple scene, a leper on his knees before the Lord Jesus. That same leper bursting with excitement, telling everybody what Jesus has done for him. And we'll set this scene alongside that moment that we remember later with bread and with wine, when the body of the Lord Jesus was broken and when his blood drained from him. Just to make sense of the scene, we need to look back a little bit into the previous episode where Jesus surprised his friends by walking away from a huge crowd of sick people outside Simon's house. If you look at verse 29 on page 1003, they'd been in the synagogue. Verse 29. Look, they've been in the synagogue. They left the synagogue. They went to lunch with Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was ill, and Jesus healed her. And then verse 32, do you see, that evening, after sunset, they brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. And verse 33 is astonishing, isn't it? The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many of them and drove out demons and told them to be quiet. Well, that was a busy evening, a remarkable evening. It always seems to me very striking that where somebody can really heal, everybody then brings those who are sick to be healed. It's worth it. It's worth bringing granny or a member of the family who is unwell, because the Lord Jesus had power to heal just with a gesture or with a word. And so it was a very busy night for him. And the next morning, verse 35, Jesus went off. Verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they said, look, everybody's looking for you. And it was very obvious why they wanted him. They wanted him to carry on with the healings that he'd been doing the night before. Not everybody was well yet. There were more people coming. Again, you imagine the traffic jam in Leipzig. If there was somebody who really could heal, there'd be sick people coming from the whole area to get close to the one who can really restore. But verse 38, Jesus replies, we're going somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I've come. See, they're expecting him to go back and carry on what's obviously good work outside Simon's house. There they are, queuing up, waiting to see him, to be restored by him. But he says, no, we're walking away. We're going somewhere else. And although we're not invited inside the mind of the Lord Jesus or the heart of the Lord Jesus at this point in the story, I take it that as a human being, a man of deep feeling, it must have strained his compassion to leave the crowd, knowing that he was capable of helping them. It can't have been straightforward for him just to walk away from all that human suffering, knowing that he was in a position to do something about it. Normally, when we see suffering, we can't do much about it. But he knew that he could, and yet still he was under a sense of compulsion from God to move on to a new village. It was God's purpose for him to do something even more important than healing in village after village after village, to make God's good news known. And by leaving the crowd behind like that, Jesus laid himself open to the accusation that he was lacking in compassion. I don't know what you think they were talking about at the supermarket the next morning. Mrs. Jones might have said, well, how could he leave us here and go off like that? I was really hoping that, and I hadn't had time to get, and I've got a relative who, but it's all too late. What kind of man could walk away from a crowd like that, knowing that he could restore them? It's easy enough to understand that kind of reaction. How could Jesus leave them when he was able to help them? Which we might say, was Jesus a driven person? Somebody who relentlessly pursued his own agenda, even if it was a God-given agenda. Someone who was blinkered and unwilling to deviate from his chosen direction, even for a moment's interruption. You may say, I sound like I'm describing your boss at work. Today's episode, in a sense, answers the question that this previous episode raises about the compassion of Jesus. We're going to see that he is wonderfully full of compassion. And he's so full of compassion that he's willing to trade places with a leper. And ultimately, he's even willing to trade places with people as undeserving as you and as me. Look at verse 40 with me. A man with leprosy came to him. And we say, so? And we easily miss the point that it was highly provocative and offensive for a leper to approach someone. It wasn't something the leper should have done. The word for leprosy in the Old Testament covers other skin diseases as well as full-blown leprosy, in which the limbs gradually fall off. It covers all sorts of other exciting things for a Sunday morning, like boils and burns and itches and ringworm and all sorts of scalp condition. If you start to itch now, I'll understand. And the Old Testament usually sees leprosy as a punishment sent from God that could only be cured by God. Leprosy is a physical condition that, if you like, is a spiritual indication. So, for example, Moses' sister Miriam, and I'm sure our Miriam will forgive me for this, she was a leper for a while as God punished her for what was open rebellion against her brother and against God. And a little while later, it was God himself who healed her. So there was Miriam, who was briefly a leper. Later on, remember in the story, there was a foreign general, a soldier, who became a leper. His name was Naaman. And God healed him through one of the big name prophets, Elisha. And God's people thought it was as hard to heal a leper as to raise the dead. So as you might say, it's a big ask from the man who kneels before Jesus. There are only two examples of lepers in the whole of the Old Testament. There is the woman Miriam, who was an insider, a member of God's people, and the man Naaman, who was an outsider, a Gentile. And those two exclusively are the only examples we have of lepers being healed in the Old Testament. And both times it was clearly God who did it, without doubt. And a man on his knees says to Jesus, "You can do it. You can. I know you can." And leprosy was not only a disease, it was also a sentence. Lepers lost everything. Everything that is precious to us as human beings. They lost their family. They lost all their friends once it was established for certain that they had the skin disease. They lost their equivalent to the church family. They lost their role in the community. They lost their job, their livelihood, their house, their home. And they were forced to make themselves look as revolting as possible so that nobody came near them, so that nobody was contaminated by them. The tradition says that lepers had to stand at a distance 50 paces from everybody else. Now, I don't know how long this hall is. We'll measure it afterwards. But 50 paces is a long way. Back at home, we measure things by cricket pitches. And this is 2 cricket pitches in length. So that imagine the rest of your life, you suddenly discover one day you definitely have this skin disease. And from then on, you have to be 2 cricket pitches or 50 paces away from everybody else. Imagine never having a conversation with somebody, except another leper, who was less than 50 paces away from you. "Hello, Mum," over that kind of distance. It destroys all kind of relationships. But nothing will stand in the way of this particular leper and his desire to get to Jesus. We will go slightly faster than that, I promise you. We've spent most of our time on the first phrase. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. Now look what he says, look what he knows, and look what he doesn't know. He knows that Jesus is capable of cleansing him. "If you're willing, you can make me clean," he says. There's no doubt about that. But he doesn't know if Jesus is willing to cleanse him. "If you're willing," he says, "you can make me clean." And just for a moment, would you have a look at him in your mind's eye? Imagine him there on his knees before Jesus, breaking all these taboos much closer than he should have been, confident about the power of Jesus, uncertain about the will, the heart, the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And as you see him there, he knows what's wrong with him. It's obvious to him. And he knows that Jesus can help him. It seems to me already he knows a great deal more spiritually than most of the men who surround us here, or most of the men surrounding me where I live in Kirkella, who assume there's nothing wrong with them. And if there was, then Jesus would be the very last person who they would dream of asking to help them. They assume they can kind of muddle through, okay? This man knows he can't. He's on his knees before Jesus. The leper knows that Jesus is able to help him, but he's not sure if Jesus can be bothered with him. He doesn't know if Jesus has time for him. He doesn't know whether Jesus is so fixed on God's bigger purpose that, if you like, he'll just brush him aside. He may know already that Jesus has just said no to a crowd with obvious need outside Simon's house. Well, why should he now say yes to a man on his knees who had no business to be there? See, it's a striking scene, isn't it? Just as the man kneels before Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And the response from Jesus is just as scandalous and unexpected as the leper's decision to approach him in the first place. Any other Jewish man would have shrunk back in horror at having a leper anywhere near him, because the presence of the leper would have contaminated him. But not Jesus. Look in verse 41. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." You see, instead of turning from him, Jesus turns to him. Instead of shrinking back from him, Jesus reaches out to him and touches him. And if you like, watch that gesture. Jesus reaches a very long way as he reaches out to touch that man. It's not just 50 paces that Jesus crosses. He crosses over all the social and physical and spiritual barriers that separate him and the man on his knees. It's an astonishing moment. It's a wonderful moment. "I am willing," he says. "Be clean." Any other man, as I mentioned, would have been polluted by touching the leper. Contamination works, if you like, from the contaminated and trickles out to whatever comes into contact with the contaminated person. If I'd touched a leper, I'd have been made unclean. If you'd touched the leper, you'd have been made unclean by him. But not Jesus. Instead of becoming unclean, Jesus makes the leper clean. And it's the most glorious transformation. "Off you go," says Jesus, "and keep your mouth shut." Do you see what he says there? Gives him a strong warning. Don't tell anyone. I skipped over the verse in verse 34 of the previous episode, where as the demons were driven out, he said, "Oh, you shut up and don't talk about me." In other words, he tells the man to be quiet. He's not ready to have this broadcast. It'll be misunderstood. So he sends the man off to the local priests in verse 44. And they're to see for themselves what's going on. The procedure is in Leviticus, earlier in the Bible. And when the priests were not on duty in the temple, one of their jobs was as kind of local health inspectors. They were to say, "That skin looks dodgy." Or subsequently, they were to say, "Yeah, that skin looks clean. You can come back. You can come home." And Mark is making it clear from the start of his story that Jesus doesn't, if you like, tear up the Old Testament. He does everything by the book. And he wants this local priest to know what's going on and see it for himself, the evidence of someone doing something that only God could do. Only Miriam, only Naaman, and now this man. It seems like God is at work in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And he's deliberately giving every opportunity to those who ultimately will kill him to see for themselves the evidence that God is at work through him. So that if they do, and when they do, destroy him, it'll be in the face of the evidence, in spite of the evidence, that God has been at work wonderfully through him. And the story ends with another surprise. Verse 45. Do you see, instead of keeping quiet, the demons know how to obey Jesus, but this man, it seems, doesn't. Instead of keeping quiet, the leper tells everyone all about what's happened to him. And again, we can understand his enthusiasm. Just imagine for a moment him coming home and knocking on the front door of his house, and his mum comes to the door. She opens the door. "What are you doing here?" "No, it's all right, mum. It's okay. I'm clean." And he comes home, back to his family. It's a very touching moment, imagining him being restored to the heart of his family without anxiety. He's definitely clean. The priest said it's okay. He can go back and belong and be back surrounded by those who love him. But look at the results of his disobedience for Jesus. Jesus has lifted a burden from the leper's shoulders, the burden of being at 50 paces from all who love him, the loss of everything precious to him through his sickness and his suffering. But the leper's reaction lays a burden on Jesus. If you ask in terms of a stage set or a screen at the start of the story, who is center stage and who is off stage? At the start of the story, Jesus, if you like, is on the inside and the leper is on the outside. By the end of the story, look where Jesus has to go. It says he stayed outside in lonely places. The one who was inside at the start goes outside by the end. The one who was outside at the start comes inside at the end. Jesus and the leper, if you like, have traded places. And right at the start of his public ministry, before we're out of the first chapter of Mark's account, here is Jesus willingly becoming an outsider so that the leper can become an insider. Here in shadow, in outline, in pencil, if you like, is what we can see subsequently and plainly and gloriously on Good Friday. Here's the shape of what the Lord Jesus has come to do for us, that the bread and the wine picture for us. His mission is to trade places with us. He's come to bear our sins and make us clean. He's come to restore our relationship with God and each other. He's come to bring outsiders like ourselves who have excluded ourselves from God's family into the family at the cost of his own willingness to be excluded, cut off, forsaken by God in our place. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Something lovely about it seems to me, so early and so clearly. And for those of us who have, in a sense, know that we've been brought in, there's every reason for us to praise him, to say thank you to him. Some of us remember the moment when we cried out, Lord Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. For others, if we've not yet got to that point, or we cannot say that we've ever genuinely cried out to him and said, Lord Jesus, make me clean, today would be a grand day to do that. Today would be a great day to take the example of the leper and get on our knees before Jesus. Not because we have leprosy, but because we are sick with sin. Because we are made unclean in God's eyes by the way in which we've treated him and those around us. And we can, in our mind's eye, just in a few moments of quietness later in our service, kneel at the feet of the Lord Jesus and ask for his cleansing, knowing that his death makes that cleansing freely available to each of us. So if you know you've been called and cleansed, rejoice. If you've not yet cried out to him and received cleansing from him, cry out to him today. As we sit, let's pray. If you are willing, you can make me clean. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the compassion of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his willingness to reach out to us, to travel from heaven for us, to go to the cross in our place. We praise you for this portrait of his willingness to trade places with sin-sick sinners like ourselves. For those of us who know we have receive cleansing, we praise you for the compassion that purchased cleansing for us. And if there are any who need to cry out to him today, we ask that you'll enable that. Make it easy to say, you can make me clean. We pray that you'll grant to each of us the touch from the Lord Jesus that we need. And we ask for his name's sake. Amen.